Hello, welcome to Legion of Tunes. I'm Lou Gonzalez. Joining me this week is Gary Gallimore.
How's it going?
And John Seiler.
We're pretty animated here.
So there's been a couple of things that kind of dropped recently, and we just were starting to get into, I guess the biggest one is probably what we were just about to talk about before we hit have Craig join. So in Rocker's Modern Life, actually, it's on Netflix that it came out.
Yeah.
Did it drop yet, though? Like, I don't remember if it dropped or not.
It came out last Friday.
Okay. Because I think we've talked about before, like, Netflix is not really the best when it comes to those kind of showing when stuff drops.
Right? Well, one of the shows I'll talk about is a show that they just randomly dropped. But yeah, the Rocko's Modern Life Static Cling special was originally supposed to air on Nickelodeon a couple of years ago. This was originally announced in about 2017 or 2016. And it basically, like, after the Hey Arnold movie came out, and I guess, like, the ratings weren't good or, you know, whatever it is, Rocko and Enter Zim, which is dropping tomorrow.
Oh, really?
As of this recording, it comes out tomorrow. They basically shelved them, and no one knew when they were going to come out. And then Netflix announced about a month ago, they're like, hey, we picked up the streaming rights for this. We're going to put them, you know, out on our streaming service on this day and this date.
I am really surprised because, as far as I knew, both creators of those two shows, I don't know their names off the top of my head, but I remember them both being very done with those properties, especially in the guy who did Invader Zim.
Yann Vasquez? I don't know, man. Like, he's been doing, like, he did some stuff on the Invader Zim comic that, you know, as that was coming out, I want to say, like, 2015. So, you know, it's not like he tried stepping away from the brand. It, you know, I think, you know, he had a project at Nickelodeon that a lot of people liked, and then Nickelodeon just outright canceled it. And, you know, he went off and did his own stuff.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, like, strangely, like, the history of that channel, I would say, except for, like, maybe
Rugrats.
Yeah, but they also changed that because then they kind of did one or two movies, and then they aged them up, and then it was terrible. Like, they did what they did to Doug.
I was about to say, well, Doug went to Disney, and Disney ruined Doug.
Yes.
Don't think Disney Doug is all that bad. It's definitely not as good as the Nick Doug.
Disney is the devil.
But the thing about, like, Rugrats, there's actually, like, a Saberspark, who's a YouTuber, did, like, a huge kind of, like, retrospect of, like, what happened with Rugrats.
Yeah, the writers and stuff.
Well, like, one of the writers on the team basically left after the first kind of big group of episodes came out. And that's why, like, post the Rugrats movie, like, the Rugrats just kind of don't feel the same. It's because, like, you know, that writer had, like, so much personality within that show, and there were, like, things that even, like, one of the show creators, like, did not agree with. Like, she did not want Angelica to be a part of the show. She thought Angelica was a very mean, like, nasty girl, and she did not like that she, like, made fun of the babies and called them stupid babies. And but, like, that was, like, kind of what, like, Angelica's not one of the reasons why that show is popular, but she's, like, a very key component of why that show is so good.
Right. Well, and it's like, I think, because we might have watched the same video, it was like, there was feuding between the creators and the writers.
Yes.
Like, heavy feuding, like, and after the first run of episodes that they had done, the writers just kind of left.
Yeah, and that creator ended up going on to create Recess.
Oh.
Which Recess was good.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, post, like, episode 60 of Rugrats, it's kind of toothless.
Yeah.
Because there are, like, some pretty heavy episodes. Like, I know when we did, like, a kind of holiday thing, I know Alan brought up, like, the Hanukkah one. It's, like, kind of a heavy episode, and it is, like, one of the few kind of really hard takes. Not a hard take, but, like, kind of a serious take on, like, Hanukkah, and that's, like, an early, early episode.
That's, yeah, and that was actually, like, one of the later episodes.
That's
Yeah. But you know, like that's also like one of the most well known episodes, I feel like, of that later Rugrats run. But to go back to Rocco, so this special basically takes place like right after the end of the first series, because first series ends with Rocco, Filbert, and Heifer in Rocco's house, and the house gets hit by a rocket and sent into space. And so this special takes place 20 years later, and it's Rocco, and like the house falls back into O-Town, and it's Rocco adjusting to this new modern life. And he comes back, and he finds out that his favorite show called The Fatheads has been canceled. Ed Bighead, who was like the main antagonist for the show, ends up like dooming the company that he works for, and it goes completely bankrupt. And so they make this plan to Ed's boss that if they brought back the Bigheads, it will make the company financial again and, you know, save O-Town. The original Fathead show is created by Ed's son.
Yeah, it's making fun of his parents, isn't it?
Yes. Because, like, also the character of Ed's son is voiced by Joe Murray, who's the creator of Rocco, and Ralph Bighead, you know, the creator of the show, is basically a stand-in for Joe Murray.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the special goes that Rocco goes to try and find Ralph, who is now transitioned into being Rachel Bighead, and it's kind of like a big riff on like the older episode where Ralph has been like what's the word for it when he's like not a part of the family unit anymore. Because Ed wanted Ralph to be, you know, a businessman like him, but Ralph wanted to make cartoons, so he's like, I have no son. And then they kind of do that again with Rachel being trans now, but it's really nice. It's a real shame that this wasn't on Nickelodeon, because I think having a trans representative on like on kids' TV is like would have been like a really cool thing. But the special's great. Like everyone who voiced all the original characters are back. It has like the same kind of humor, but it feels more updated. It's great. Like I kind of wish like hopefully they make more, but if they don't, like this is a really great like little special.
That, I mean, I haven't got a chance to sit down and watch it, but I've heard really good things about it. Well, from certain people I've not heard such good things about it, but I usually ignore those people. So yeah, I mean, I've wanted to watch it. Like I used to watch Rocco's Modern Life when I was little, like religiously. So I used to watch all those Nicktoons religiously.
Yeah, so, it is interesting they're coming back, but like hopefully, like it sounds like they are good. It has all the original creative teams and stuff for the most part. Because it just reminds me, I don't remember that was on another network when they brought back Ren and Stimpy like a decade ago.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing with Beavis and Butthead, and I was just like, this is bad.
Well, no, so the Ren and Stimpy
was the adult party cartoon show, right?
Yeah, it was on Spike, that, I think.
And and Bob Camp wasn't a part of it, but John Kay was. And John Kay is like the
awful,
the awful part of that team, and that's why the adult party hour was so bad, and to this day is like one of like I think like the worst like animated projects like ever put to TV. But like the new Beavis and Butthead, like that had Mike Judge a part of it, and I thought that show was great.
It's hard to recapture that like early 90s.
Yeah, I think part of it too was it was a like MTV wasn't what it was, so like doing it didn't make any sense because they were doing like the video clips. It wasn't like I think that's what I don't remember seeing any of the actual like an episode.
I watched every episode of it. I thought it was great.
Okay, maybe I need to go back and revisit it.
Because instead of watching music videos, they would watch episodes or like clips from the live action stuff that was on MTV currently. So it was them like riffing on Teen Mom and Jersey Shore. And it was really funny because there are like at times where you would see like Mike Judge become those characters instead of him being Beavis and Butthead. And it's like, oh, like, it's like, it's still Butthead talking, but it's like, man, like, this is like getting like a little bit too close to the chest, I feel like. Or, but I thought that was a, like a, an example of a, like a good revival. It just, you know, you're right. It went on MTV at a point where the audience for that kind of show would not have watched it.
No, right. Like that show weirdly makes more sense if like it got brought back on, I don't even know if it's streaming, more like Twitch or something like weird online or like a YouTube thing.
I think even something like Adult Swim would have been a better place, because Adult Swim has better programming than MTV did at that time.
Yeah, but I don't know what they, like, it's the thing that would be hard is like the ripping on stuff. It's still MTV, like God said, like they could make fun of the shows that MTV had. Right. Unless if they're on Adult Swim, they can't make fun of as much stuff, because it's like, oh no, it's like a weird thing that I don't know could work, except for maybe like a on demand. It's also, there's a lot of that, like a live act. Like, it's weird to think that what Beavis and Butthead was is now like a thing, like that is on every network, that they make fun of the reality shows now, but with actual people.
Because right. They also, because it wasn't like they just paired Beavis and Butthead there with like another reality show. They had like a block of shows with the new Beavis and Butthead, and then it was followed by War and the Ape, which I don't know if anyone's here ever seen Greg the Bunny, which was like,
I've seen Greg the Bunny. So
War and the Ape was a spinoff of Greg the Bunny that was all about Warren. And it was great. But again, no one in 2010 watching MTV like gave the biggest shit about War and the Ape and Beavis and Butthead.
Well, it's like, oh, it's a spinoff of a show that lasted, what, like 8 episodes on Fox?
Right. Yeah.
But it was like also, but you know, like Greg the Bunny was like one of those shows that got canceled, but then had like a whole huge cult following.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was that weird time at Fox where they canceled. It was that, like, Futurama and Family Guy, like, in 1 year, and all those shows ended up getting brought back in mm-hmm. some way. Just show, like, how shitty the executives were at that time at Fox. But it is good to know that, like, the comeback of, or the this thing with Rocco is good. Hopefully the Invader Zim one is good, too. I'll definitely check them both out.
Yep.
So, I guess I watched Batman Hush, which is the newest. I think that Batman Turtles is the newest one.
No, I think Batman Hush is.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this is in the same, I'm trying to, like, it's weird because Fatal 5 was, like, the Dini/Timverse with all those actors and the same character designs. This is back to, like, the kind of mainline DC animated stuff, like Son of Batman, Reign of the Superman, like it follows that continuity.
Right.
So it's all those same voice actors. So it's like, so it's all those guys. I think the newcomers are, Peyton List was Poison Ivy and Batgirl, which if you watch the CW stuff, she was Golden Glider. And then she also was Poison Ivy in the final season of Gotham. But this also has like Jerry O'Connell as Superman and his wife Rebecca Romijn as Lois Lane. It was fine. I would definitely say this is on the lower end of the DC animated stuff, which is really sad. Although it has like a 7 out of 10 on IMDb.
I tried to sit down and watch it the other day. I don't know. Maybe it was just I wasn't in the mood to sit down and watch anything, and maybe it just didn't catch my attention. I don't know.
They took a lot of the teeth out of it and like fastened the, like, it is both like a rush through the story and it's also like very long. So, like, they cut out, like, the whole Jason Todd aspect of it. They completely changed, like, the reveal and the ending. Like, it's really kind of like, yeah, like, taking the teeth out of it is kind of the best way. It's not as bad as Death in the Family, but it's at that level.
Wait, they did Death in the Family?
Yes. That was like 2 years ago.
Oh, shit. I missed that.
It's not good. And that's where they did the weird thing where they shipped Batman and Batgirl together, and everyone's like, why the fuck did they do that?
Killing Joke.
That's what I meant. Death in the Family is Jason. Yeah, well, Death in the Family, they kind of reference in Red Hood. I'm sorry, I mixed them up. Yeah, that's what I meant as the bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
Red Hood's very good.
Oh, yeah. The Red Hood was great. It's really good. And isn't it like Jensen Ackles that does Jason Todd in that?
Yes.
And he's been wanting to do that for, like, he's like a huge Red Hood fan.
And I liked Bruce Greenwood as Batman.
Yeah, that is not who Batman is anymore. Which is, like, the voice acting was fine. It's just the writing was not good.
Yeah, John DiMaggio is also, like, a really surprisingly good Joker.
Yeah, he did not do the Joker in this either. Is Jason Sipsack?
Yeah, I think he's only John DiMaggio is only voiced Joker in that.
Yeah, is it the same person who's done... Well, he's done a lot of stuff for DC, but...
Yeah, he did Lobo, I think, at one point.
Yeah, he's the voice of, in Young Justice, the Kid Flash and Forager. He's done Hal Jordan, the Superhero Girls.
Yeah, he's Aquaman, Brave and the Bold.
Yeah. It's like, he's like a big voice actor. It's just like, the voice acting...
He's literally the best Aquaman.
Yeah, like... The voice acting isn't a problem in this like specific movie. It's an hour and a half. So it's 90 minutes and they take out huge chunks of the story at the same time. And they kind of hugely change some aspects of it. So without giving too many spoiler things away with it. But what else have you guys watched recently?
Sat down and watched Dinosaur today. The 20-year-old Disney movie.
I thought you were like the Disney dinosaur. I'm like, oh, like dinosaurs, the TV show?
No.
I was like, oh wait, no, that anime movie no one remembers.
Yep. I don't remember this at all.
I love that movie. It did not go over well with a lot of people, but I loved it. Yeah, I guess I've had a thing with dinosaurs all my life.
It was kind of like around that time where Disney was trying to have their hand in CGI animation because Pixar was killing it.
So this is before they bought Pixar. Okay.
Yeah.
So they had like that and Chicken Little and Meet the Robinsons and Bolt.
Oh my God. I forgot about those movies. Meet the Robinsons isn't that bad I can remember.
It's on Netflix. I rewatched it this weekend. It's not great, but it has really good parts.
Well, it's like Dinosaur is not bad. I sat down and rewatched it today. And I was like, that's pretty good. I mean, it's not great. It's better than The Good Dinosaur.
I have not seen that either.
That's a Sophie's Choice if I ever saw one.
Is that the DreamWorks movie? Good Dinosaur? Or is that a Pixar?
That's Pixar.
Yeah, The Good Dinosaur was Pixar. I don't know. I guess I like the realistic designs for the dinosaurs over the Pixar movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've seen either of these.
The Good Dinosaur is pretty bad. Like it's really good because of the landscapes, the trees and the water and the scenery looks pretty photorealistic, and I think that's like the real car. And there's also like one weird part about that movie where they're high on berry juice. Like other than that, like that movie is not good.
Oh man.
See, and I'll contend that Dinosaur is actually good. Like, it's, I mean, it's not, you know, the best movie or anything, but it's actually pretty good story.
Yeah.
Some pretty good characters. Dinosaurs look good. Still look good. And they used, they filmed in real locations and then put the, you know, animated the dinosaurs into the real locations.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of a, like, that's a misinformation, because actually what they did is they took real dinosaurs and then CGI'd everything around them.
But, no, I liked the more realistic looking dinosaurs and the lemurs and all that shit. I mean, it was, like I said, it's not great, but it's a good watch. It's about an hour and a half.
If I remember right, it's about basically Tarzan. It's like the baby dinosaur is raided by lemurs, and he believes he's like, oh well, like, why am I different? And he's like, and she's like, sweetie, like, you're actually a dinosaur, and he has to find his own place in the world. And
oh no, he sticks with them the whole time. It's like meteors hit, and they're like on a journey to find a new place to live, basically.
So it's like Ice Age.
A little bit, but I think it's actually before Ice Age.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely before. I think it's like 2000, is what I saw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ice Age is like, what, like 05, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, I believe so.
But, John, what else have you been watching?
I finally finished Nickelodeon's TMNT series.
Oh, the new one?
Not Rise. I've not started that yet.
Oh, the CGI one?
The CGI one.
That shit's actually and really good.
It's good. Like, I think there's... it's funny because I started back up on season 3, and I was like, man, why did I quit watching this show? This show's really good. The beginning of season 3 is very boring and bad. Mm. I actually, like, kind of would fast forward through a lot of it. It's, the events of season 2 is basically the Foot Clan takes over New York City, and the Turtles have to, like, run to escape to kind of regroup. And the whole entire season 3 is them in a cabin in the woods for about 8 episodes.
So it's like a play on the original story?
Yeah. Which this series has a lot of that, but does them in like really kind of cool ways.
I remember one of the episodes I've watched, I can't remember what... The only character I saw that they kind of added out of nowhere was Shredder's daughter.
Well, Karai's a comics character. But she, like, this was like kind of the first time you've seen her. I think she might have been in the 2000s era TMNT, but I didn't watch any of that.
I mean, like, in the original comic, she was not in, like, those stories until, like, probably, like, a while down the road. So I reread them a couple years ago. I can't remember. I got to the point when they were, like, on another planet, and I was like, I don't think I need to read this anymore.
But yeah, like, each season is, like, broken up into, like, really cool little segments. Like, the second half of season 3 is everyone coming back together, you know, to stop the Krang and the Triceratons from, like, kind of destroying everything. And then first half of season 4 is the Turtles in space with the Fugitoid, who's voiced by one of the Doctors, I think David Tennant.
I would not be surprised since he does like the DuckTales stuff.
Yeah, now that I'm saying that out loud, it totally was David Tennant. And then the later half of season 4 is, you know, them like them fighting the Super Shredder, and after beating the Triceratons, and like all that stuff is really good. And they also introduce Bebop and Rocksteady, and they're great. Like, a lot of the redesigns for the show are like really cool too. And then all of season 5 is basically set up as a Tales of, where each arc is its own story. Like, there's a one where they're traveling through time and they're fighting Dracula. There's one where they're transported to ancient Edo period Japan, and they team up with Usagi. There's like a 3-part episode where it's basically Raphael and Mad Max.
And, is it actually like, Mad Max or is it like a spoof on Mad Max?
It's a spoof on Mad Max. And like, and it's a cool idea. And then like the finale is Bebop and Rocksteady teaming up with the classic Shredder and Krang to defeat the Turtles. And like the classic Turtles show up. And I think like the classic Turtles show up and because they also did this in the 2000s era Turtle series. And while like and that version is fine, but I kind of feel like in that 2000s era it's like very mean-spirited in a way that, oh yeah, this shit sucks and these versions suck and they're not as good as us. And they kind of do that in this series, but they don't treat them like complete like useless goofballs. And I like that.
The original ones or the current ones?
Like the 80s Turtles, like the 80s versions of like those Turtles with all the same voice actors show up and team up with the current version of the Turtles.
Yeah, my question is like, who are they saying is useless? The old ones or the new ones?
The old ones.
Oh,
because
really?
It's like, because they don't fight with their weapons.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they're not disciplined. But there's like really funny like in jokes. Like the voice of Donatello in the current series is Rob Paulsen. So then when the old Turtles show up, Rob Paulsen also voiced Raphael in the 87 series. So
he's
Raphael,
doing.
So Raphael makes fun of Donatello for how he sounds.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
But yeah, it's, you know, I don't think like every episode is a banger, but I think there's a lot of good stuff in it. And I think if you're like a Turtles fan and you're looking for something that's really cool, like I really love their take on April O'Neil in this series.
Oh yeah, I remember them getting a ton of shit for that.
I think a lot of it is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember she's in high school, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, she's the same age as the Turtles, same with Casey Jones. And I think, and they also, like, make her more a part of the fight scenes. And I like that as the series goes on.
Because, mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, from what I saw, like, they kind of used her as, like, a setup as someone to take, I forgot her name again, Shredder's daughter.
Yeah.
As, like, someone to kind of, like, that way they're not hitting a girl, like, as guys.
Not really. Like, they fight Karai, and Karai gets her ass handed to her a lot. But I think it was just... It's like, how do you recontextualize April within the series? It's like, do you still make her, like, an adult who's like, a reporter? But then it's like, why is she, like, an adult woman hanging out with these teen turtles in the sewers? It's like, oh, like, we'll make her and Casey the same age as the Turtles, and then she goes off on adventures with them in space and through time and doing all this other cool junk.
Yeah, because if I remember, they like made her dad tie in more to everything, like a bit better.
It's funny because the dad's just kind of written off at some point. Like he's not he's missing, and then he comes back and he's pretty inconsequential to the entire story. But they at the very beginning of the show they do tie him into. The ooze and the mutagen and all that.
Yeah, doesn't he work with he's like partners with Stockman?
Yeah.
So, which is another character who's like never gotten any love in like the live action stuff, as far as I know.
What are you talking about? Tyler Perry played him in that last movie. You know, and that movie's like actually like not bad. It's not great.
The second Bay one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler Perry played Dexter Stockman.
Yeah, because it also has Bebop and Rocksteady in it, and they're great.
Yeah, it's what Seamus, the wrestler Seamus, and I can't remember the other guy.
The guy who played Uncle Ruckus, I believe.
Wait. The guy who played Uncle Ruckus from...
The Boondocks.
Oh my god.
They actually did a...
I love that show.
Well, they also did a... Krang and shit too, so that was cool.
Yeah, he was voiced by Brad Garrett.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little less grating than the 80s Krang.
I think I might be wrong about who played Bebop. Gary Anthony Williams, who's like a voice actor on a ton of stuff. Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah, okay, I'm wrong. He was from Malcolm in the Middle. He's like the guy that works. He's like friends with like one of the or like with the dad, I believe. He's in a bunch of TV stuff.
Yeah, I need to like find his face. Is it Out of the Shadows, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's weirdly in those CarMax commercials now.
Oh, you know what? I was right. He was Uncle Ruckus in the Boondocks.
Really?
Yeah.
That is mind blowing. He was also the mutant leader in The Dark Knight Returns. Wow, he has like some real interesting, voice work.
Yep. But yeah, that movie's like not great. It's not bad though. I mean, like, I think it's like if you were to take all the TMNT movies, it's not as good as one, not as good as the CGI movie they did in like the 2000s. But I think it's like on par with Secret of the Ooze, where both of them are kind of bad, kind of corny, but like kind of fun in certain ways.
Yeah. I've literally seen every Ninja Turtle movie in theaters.
I think I've only seen the original ones, and I don't know if I've actually seen the Bay ones in full effect, like all the way through. I know I've seen parts of them.
And they're not great. They're not horrible. I mean, I still don't like the turtle designs, but...
Yeah, I think that was the biggest turnoff of me, is like, I don't like the turtle designs, like, at all.
I think the basic concept of, like, they're
7 foot.
I think their faces are bad, but I like the general idea that they had with them, where
they're a little bit more differential.
Yeah, and I think that was like the one of the things I did like about what they took from the 2000s or like the first Nick Turtle series, where like that was like kind of like the start of them making them more different looking than just being like palette swaps.
Right.
And that's what I really like about Rise.
It's like, even in the original comics, you can only really tell by their weapons and somewhat their face shape.
Yeah, well, in the beginning, like, it's just the weapons. Like, it's nothing else. But I guess, like, they're a little bit too humanoid in, like, this, in the Bay one. I don't know what it is. I don't like their faces. Oh my god, I forgot Stephen Amell was in this as Casey Jones.
Yeah.
I'm like fucking...
Oh god, he sucks in that movie. He's so bad. Like, he's so boring and clean cut and awful. I was just like, man. Like, I was
like... Which means they basically didn't let him do anything.
Yeah.
Makes you miss Elias
Cakey. He's like a cop, and it's like, why is he a cop?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was bad.
I did not know Tony Shalhoub was the voice of Splinter.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Laura Linney is in this goddamn movie?
Yeah.
I forgot that what's his name was Raphael. The guy that he plays Hawk on Titans.
Yeah, he was also in, what is that? That Blue Mountain State show?
Yeah, and he was Aquaman in the Smallville universe.
Hmm. Yeah.
He's big though. Like, he's a physically big dude, which is why he's actually like really good as Hawk.
He's really not that bad either. Like, yeah. I don't know if you've seen Blue Mountain State.
He did a really funny movie with shit. The guy that does Olaf's voice.
Oh god.
I'm gonna try to find the name of it. I clicked this thing. The Wedding Ringer. It's a Kevin Hart movie and Josh Gad.
Oh, yeah, I've been
where Josh Gad has no friends, and he basically pays a group of people And he's one, because he's getting married to Kelly Cuoco, and so he's one of the guys that he hires. So is there anything else, like, news-wise to talk about?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have three more shows. I'm just going to go through it very quickly. Going back to that conversation we had earlier about Netflix is dropping shit, I checked out 12 Forever, which originally was a Cartoon Network pilot from about 3 years ago. It got picked up by Netflix, and then they just dropped all 20 episodes like in the middle of the week, which seemed weird. But yeah, it's like not bad. It's basically about this girl named Reggie, who just turned 12, and she basically has created this world of her. I think it's of her imagination, but it's never like kind of really fully explained. But like her friends can also go there, and it's like a world full of like creatures that she's created. And like if you like bury something within the sands of this world, it'll be created into a creature. And like the main antagonist for this series, it's like because she's like turning 12 and her mom gives her like these books about, you know, it's like a series about this girl wanting to kind of like stay like who she is and everyone kind of growing up around her, and her mom like wanting her to be like a little bit more adult. And she gives her like these books about, you know, growing up, and she like takes the books and she throws them into like this dream world, and they like spawn. Does anyone remember in Powerpuff Girls, the villain him?
Yes. So basically the devil.
Yeah, so basically this show has, like, their own character who is, like a very vivacious-looking, like, character, but voiced by Matt Berry from the IT Crowd. He's, like, the second boss from the IT Crowd. There's also, like, another character from the IT Crowd who also voices a character in this show. Steve Agee who's like this really funny comedian, does the voice for the main antagonist's like lackey. Like the villain's name is the Butt Witch, because that's just like a kid like calls her the Butt Witch, and she hates it, so she just calls her the Butt Witch for the whole series. But it's like not bad. It's like, you know, I think it's like a little bit I think people looking, you know, for like a little bit older, kind of like, you know, like more mature storyline, you're not going to kind of find it there, but I think it's like a really good teen centric animated show about growing up. And it's like kind of touching a subject matter that you kind of really don't see, like other than like Big Mouth, but Big Mouth does it in such a gross kind of way, that I think this is like a little bit of a better show. I also watched the new season of She-Ra, and this block of episodes is the best of the series. The show is still great. There's some like really great episodes of Catra. There's some really great stuff with the Adora. There's a lot of just really good kind of like pushing the plot stuff that happens in these group of episodes that I think are great. And I'm like really excited to kind of see like where the show goes. I don't know if anyone else here has seen the new She-Ra, but it's great.
No, I watched a few episodes.
Yeah, it's one of those shows I just haven't gotten around to yet.
Like, Catra is like my favorite character. I think she's so good, and I think she's a great antagonist to the series. I think she's possibly, you know, one of the best villains, like animated show villains since Azula from the first Avatar series. Like, it very two sides of the same coin kind of thing. And then I also watched the first, like, 35 episodes of Hunter x Hunter. It's basically all the episodes that are on Netflix. It's a anime from the creator of Yu Yu Hakusho. It's about a young boy named Gon who's trying to find his father, who's, like, a famous hunter. And so he goes to take the hunter exam, and he meets all these cast of characters, and it's a big old adventure. It's good. The series is basically good boys being good friends, and I like it.
Well, that's good. So I guess, is that the all the things you have watched?
Yeah. Also, Hunter x Hunter's main antagonist of the series is this creepy clown man who's a lot like the Joker if the Joker was also very, very into Batman to the point that he could kill him at any point and just keeps him around to where he's worthy of being killed. Mm-hmm. But it's also like very, like when I say very into Batman, like very, very, like this guy is very into this boy, and I'm like, man, come on. But it's good.
It's Japan.
It's not even Japan. It's just like this, he's just a creepy clown guy.
Yeah, well, I definitely think there's probably Batman stories where the Joker is like that.
Yeah, some Frank Miller ones. Like, I can think of off the top of my head.
Because the one that popped into my head, which I know is a book that you don't like, is it's one of the Kevin Smith one when Onomatopoeia goes and grabs him, and he's like constantly like throwing at innuendo, like, yeah, all right, but you're not really who I'm into.
I'm not really into stories where it's implied the Joker fucks.
But that's like, they say any of the stories with Harley Quinn that like when they're together.
But that's why Mad Love is so good. Like Harley Quinn's like on the table and she's like, "Do you want to ride your Harley?" And he just like pushes her off because he's doing some plan.
Oh yeah, the "Do you want to rev your Harley?" Oh my god, I can't believe they put that in a kid's show.
Well, it's funny we say that, but then it's like revisiting like Rocco, like. All that humor was in the original show. Like, there's a...
True.
Like, Rocco is, canonically, probably the only Nicktoon who also is a sex worker. Because there's, like, that scene where he, like, did the phone sex hotline.
Right.
Oh, man, I forgot. Man, maybe I should go back and rewatch that show.
It's like a show.
Stuff with the dentist and Gilbert.
Yeah, I did a big rewatch of a lot of Nicktoon stuff a couple of years ago, and Rocco holds up very well.
All right, now do we want to jump into our other thing, or do we want to just like keep it short and sweet this week?
We can jump into I'm good with jumping into the other thing if it's all right with everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess with the advent of what was the last one? Aladdin? No, Lion King. Oh my god, they came out like back to back. Just talking about these, like, as you call them, live action remakes, right? But they're not, but they are.
Okay, everything, like, everything else up until now has been somewhat of a live action remake. Lion King is not a live action remake.
But they keep calling it that, but those are not real lions.
No, it's just a photorealistic remake.
Like CGI, yeah.
Yeah. And from what I hear, it's like people are liking it because they can't emote, really. Like, you can't see the emotions on their faces and stuff like that as well. As,
you know, I'm looking through, like, there's like a list, and it's like, oh, they actually add in, like, the 1994 Jungle Book and 100 and 102 Dalmatians into this.
What about 101? What the fuck?
Yeah, 101 and 102.
Okay, I was like, they just skipped over the first one.
102 is the same. Oh, no, it's after that we jumped to Alice in Wonderland, I guess, is the first of this kind of revamp. Because that's 2010. It's Alice in Wonderland, Maleficent, Cinderella, Jungle Book, which I guess is the one that really blew everything up.
And that one was actually good, too.
Yeah, and that's Favreau as well. And then Alice Through the Looking Glass?
Yeah, it was a sequel.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast.
That first Alice in Wonderland movie sucked.
Well, it was Tim Burton.
Yeah, but it made like $1 billion. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, like, I mean, Alice in Wonderland was like kind of like the first big one. I want to say it did very well. It made $1 billion. And so then, like, and that was like, they're like, okay, we're gonna like do a whole bunch of these, and that's when you got like Maleficent, Cinderella, and Jungle Book, like all kind of announced an Alice sequel. And then Libsyn did well, Cinderella did fine, Jungle Book did really well.
Well, what's funny is there's a big gap between Alice and Maleficent. There's like a 4-year gap. After that is when it's every single year, and there was 3 this year.
Well, yeah, but like you also have a lot of post-production. Like Alice in Wonderland did so well that they were like, okay, like this is probably the way to go. Let's greenlight a bunch of these projects.
Wait, there's 2 more coming out this year.
Yeah.
Oh God, what else is coming out?
The sequel to Maleficent.
Right.
And then Lady and the Tramp, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Which is for Disney Plus.
Well, what? Well, I mean, yeah. What?
By the way, you're going to get a lot of these who are going to be like Disney Plus. Like, Sword in the Stone is supposed to be a Disney Plus one also.
See, Sword in the Stone is one that I could see as a live action
remake. Oh, but I think Lady and the Tramp is Disney Plus, yes.
Really?
So, yes. So I'm on the Wikipedia. I'll post the thing in here. So Maleficent is theaters. Lady and the Tramp is Disney Plus. Mulan and Cruella de Vil, which I guess is another 101 Dalmatians remake.
Yeah, I think it's just the story of Cruella de Vil.
Like Maleficent?
And why she's a bad person. And I'm like, because she wants to take puppies and make them into a coat. Like,
yeah, because she's like a bad person because she's a bad person.
Right.
And then it's, Sword of the Stone is Disney Plus, then the rest of these are all theatrical. Little Mermaid, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Lilo and Stitch.
What?
A Jungle Book sequel, Pinocchio, Rose Red, and Snow White. So this will be...
I don't actually watch a Rose Red movie.
I don't even... So Rose Red is a Snow White thing as well?
Rose Red is the sister of Snow White.
I did not know that. I don't know that story.
Yeah. She's also like a major character within Fables.
Okay.
But I imagine the Rose Red of Fables is very different than the Rose Red that they are going to do.
Yeah. The two that like strike me as like super odd that they're doing is Lilo and Stitch. Because it's a movie with aliens.
Well, that's not even an older animated movie. I mean,
no, the movie's from 2002.
I mean, if you think about it, that movie's by that point going to be 20 years old.
Fair.
Yeah. And the Hunchback is just like, there's a lot of things they're going to have to dance around in that story.
Yeah.
In which one?
Hunchback. Like the gypsies, like call it like that. Them being gypsies is like a huge aspect of the movie, and the priest guy murdering people.
I think they could still do it. There's a big difference between having like Gypsy, a DC character, showing up within whatever TV show that she showed up
in Flash.
Being called Gypsy, and then having an adaptation of Hunchback of Notre Dame where they were gypsies, and that's like what they're called within the book, and in a classic character is within the time frame of that.
The thing we haven't seen them really run into, like even with Mulan, which is basically going to have like a lot of historic kind of. They're editing like all the magic of Mulan.
I think it would be fair to say that that's not really that much of a remake, which is, I guess, the only reason I'm looking forward to that one.
No, it is a war movie, basically.
Yeah, it's more like a more accurate telling of the legend.
Yes. But in the same way, it's...
Without all the cultural insensitivity.
Well, it's yes and no, because there are some things that would probably be culturally insensitive, but it's also that China has very strict rules when it comes
to...
No magic, no religion. You have to make China look good in history. So it's one of the reasons why, like for another Disney property in Doctor Strange, that's the real reason why they changed the Ancient One from being somebody who looked Tibetan to Celtic, is because like Tibet is like a no-no for China whatsoever.
Right. If you think about it, like, United States kind of has like the same kind of rule for using like legit like as a filmmaker, you can get the army to like lend you vehicles and shit like that, but you cannot make the army look bad.
That's also like a tax thing too.
Yeah,
like if Transformers is basically half paid for by the military.
Yeah. Right.
If you want the military's help to make something, they're not going to want you to make them look bad. But you can still make a movie. You literally
Say that it's the U.S. Army and stuff like that, but they're not going to help you at all.
Yes. In China, you can't even, like, those movies are just not allowed to be shown, or they'll cancel them.
Yeah, there was a big thing today where the main actress for Mulan was like, oh, yeah,
go Chinese police.
Yeah, go Chinese police. It's like, that's no from me, brah.
Yeah, but the problem is she has to say that.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, so I'm like, I might be looking forward to The Little Mermaid as well. I mean, it's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, so anything he does, they just announced who the actress was recently, right?
Right. I can't remember her name, but that caused a lot of controversy.
It can't be any worse than Beauty and the Beast, honestly.
Is funny because it's one of the couple one of the like two that I've seen, and I liked it.
Now, I will say there is a coolness to, like, you know, I have a 9-year-old daughter. There is a coolness to being able to sit in a theater. Like, you know, when I was, these are movies that I went to see in theaters when I was little. And so there's kind of a really kind of cool aspect to it, like being able to take your, you know, kid to see a version of some of the most seminal movies in your life type thing, you know?
I think that's fine, but I think that there's just like a lot of what, like there's like a lot of bad payoff in Beating the Beast. There's
definitely like weirdness, like that whole thing with her mom and the plague doctor stuff. Why is this in there?
Yeah, that was a little strange. Not to pad out the timing, but like, oh man.
Well, it's just like she's like purported to be like this really smart girl who's like this inventor. He teaches girls to read, even though it's like it plays no part within the story at all. Like even when Belle and Maurice are locked away, it's like she is not even the one that lets them out, like, or figures out how to get themselves out. Like,
right?
It's Maurice is the one that's like, oh, the pin, like, and he's the one that opens it up. Like that Gaston is now like this PT, like this war guy who's like super into war, and he has flashbacks to the war. And I'm like, and they're like trying to give him pathos when it's like, why can't he just be a big dumb jock that all the people like? Because he's just a big dumb local jock, and like all the racism and misogyny is because of an evil spell. And like the Beast sucks. Like he's not likable. His affection is not earned.
That's kind of the problem of like the story in general.
I was going to say, the Beast wasn't really likable in the animated either.
No, it's Stockholm. It's really just Stockholm.
No, it's not. It's like there's such like a lot of like I think there's like a lot of very small things that he does like in the original movie that like ingratiates like the audience into liking him. It's like like there's like that part where, you know, he tells like Belle, like, don't go to the West Wing, and she goes and she sees the rose, and then he gets mad and he chases her away, and then it's like, and there's like that moment where he's like mad, but then he's just like immediately remorseful, and you see that in his face. And in the new one, he like chases her away. There's like no like him like, oh, like I shouldn't have done that. He's just like focused on the flower. And then there was like that weird moment where like the Cogsworth and all of them are trying to keep Belle in the castle, even though she's like trying to escape. Like they refuse to let her go, so they're basically keeping her prisoner there, which is like very unlike in the original where she's like, I've made a deal, I can't, like, I, you know, it's like I gotta go, and they let her go. It's like there's just like a lot of like small story things that they tried to do in the new one that like tries to fix problems like or like quote unquote problems in the original, but like it just makes everyone like even more kind of infuriating. It's like, why does LeFou have to pay the patrons at the bar to sing the praises of Gaston?
I wasn't opposed, just because, you know, it kind of paints Gaston as like, you know, yeah, a lot of girls like him or whatever, but most everybody else is just kind of sick of his shit.
Yeah, it's like, why does Gaston need to be that? Can't he just be the really douchey hunter guy that everyone looks up to, that like is able to like rouse the fears of poor townsfolk together to go fight a beast? Because doesn't that seem like more plausible than these poor townsfolks being under a misogyny racism spell?
I agree with a bunch of your points. Like, and it is, I don't think it's the acting. Like, I thought the acting and the singing was great. I think the issue is like, it is like, there's a couple of scenes that I would definitely, that they don't make sense at all. And especially, like I said, that weird Paris scene. But like, I don't, it's almost like
the book of teleportation. Oh my God.
Like, it's almost like they didn't know that there wasn't enough like there to fill out the hour and a half, so they just added all of this other stuff to like blow out scenes a bit more.
I was about to say, they almost went to like almost 2 hours. I think that was a little much. Like, they could have cut it down, and
which says like
fitted more.
That makes me afraid of stuff for like the stuff in The Little Mermaid or like The Hunchback, where there's like aspects of the story, and Mulan as well, that there are aspects of those stories that aren't going to necessarily play like totally PC, but they're like, the issues with them are what make them what they are. You know what I mean? Like, the entire story of Hunchback is that he's like, he has a physical deformity and they lock him in a goddamn tower. Like,
I mean, you can just do The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the animated version, and cut out the gargoyles, make it live action, and it's great.
I don't know. I'm just leaving the gargoyles. I like the gargoyles.
You can have him just talk to them, and then they just don't respond. Or they have voices, and they don't move.
We rewatched that in our office a couple weeks ago, and it's like, that movie's really good, and then the gargoyles show up, and it's just like a screeching halt every time. Like, the Jason Alexander one, the gargoyle wants to fuck the goat. And there's like a bunch of jokes about him wanting to fuck the goat throughout the movie. there's like four goat fucking jokes.
Oh man, I would expect them to like get rid of those, and then again to like go to the other style, which is like, do we need a Cruella movie?
No,
like
no.
Really?
But, no. The Cruella one goes back to how I feel about the fucking Han Solo movie. Not necessarily bad, not great. But I don't want a backstory for Han Solo. I want him to be the mysterious sort of, you don't know, like, you know, going, like, say, like, because if you watch him in chronological order now, you know that Han Solo is just a good guy who's going to do the right thing. In the original trilogy, you didn't know. Not when you first watched it anyways. You had to, you know, feeling that, yeah, he would do the right thing, but, you know, he was still roguish enough to not be certain.
And
fleshing the character out more takes a lot of the mystery from it and stuff like that. And it's like, not every villain needs to be a sympathetic villain or anything.
Like Gaston. Also you tend to think, it's like, you know why they're making them? Because The Lion King made $1.3 billion. Because Aladdin made $1 billion. Because Beauty and the Beast made $1.2 billion.
I watched Aladdin and it's not good.
I think it's not bad. Like, they're like a couple of... Like, I kind of like their version of A Friend Like Me.
I actually thought this would be one of my bigger issues because of not being like, and it would have been my issue, not the actors or anything like that. My issue would have been being able to separate the genie from
Robin Williams.
But I was able to. I think Will Smith did a good job. I liked him a lot.
He's fine.
But a lot of the problems I had were like the songs that they added didn't seem to fit in with everything else.
They felt like B-sides.
Right. Like, you know,
that's the same thing they did with Beauty and the Beast. They added what, like two or three songs, and they're all, I think there was like one of the newer songs I liked in that, and the rest were like, well, I don't, why are these here?
Yeah, it was like, it's jarring almost. And then the scene with Jasmine, where she's getting arrested towards the end or whatever.
Her female empowerment song.
Right, that was bad. That was just, that, like, the song wasn't bad. The song was fine. It was just that whole scene was kind of dumb.
Because it doesn't pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I remember correctly, she's not involved in, like, really, like, the destruction of Jafar. It's like...
No, it's all Aladdin tricks him. That's all it is.
And then it's like, oh yeah, like, and I'll be queen. And I'm like, oh, cool, I guess. Like, it... Like, Aladdin is, like all the songs in the original Aladdin are, like, bangers. So, to add in a song, it's like, it has to be as good as any of them. And it's kind of not. It's just a very generic, like, you know, Yes Queen kind of song. And it's like, like those songs aren't bad. It's just the choreography. Yeah, the choreography for that scene is just really boring. And it's just kind of grinds the film to a halt.
No, it's like, I was about to say, it's like, it's not that I don't like the song or the message that the song is, or the message the song has or anything like that. It just didn't, like, it seems so jarring to the rest of the music. But I don't know. I think the problem is they're just trying to do too much too fast right now. Like, oh, let's get every fucking animated property we've ever had and make a live-action version.
Well, yeah. part of that is that, like, they're not making any new animated things, like, at all.
Right.
Like, what was their last real animated film? That wasn't Pixar.
No, Frozen.
No, it's Moana.
No, Moana was Pixar, I thought.
No, Moana is Disney.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah, no, I think Moana is not Pixar.
Okay. All right.
And then you have Frozen 2 out later this year. Well, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't Moana. It was Wreck-It Ralph 2. Oh. I completely forgot about that movie because that movie
Wreck-It Ralph's not Pixar.
But to go back to what you said about like the how much they made, in between Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin and Lion King are two movies that did not do as well, that they were also live action. Which was the Christopher Robin movie and Dumbo.
Oh, and Christopher Robin was actually really good.
Yeah, and it did not do well. It let me see, I'm looking.
Because it's like who wants to watch creepy Winnie the Pooh?
Creepy. I like that movie.
And who wants to see like live action Dumbo?
Robin made less than $200 million. And Dumbo made a little over $3.5 million.
Well, see, my problem. Okay, Christopher Robin was actually telling an original story.
Well, yeah, but it has Ewan McGregor. But like, it's still weird. Like, it's like at least it's a new team.
It's not because like Christopher Robin comes out 2 months before Mary Poppins Returns, and they're both kind of almost the same story.
Yeah,
it's like. It's young children from the original properties being adults within their world and then trying to rekindle that spark of childhood wonderment through like a returning like fantasy figure within like their growth.
So it's Hook.
It's also Hook, yes.
Wow. And Hook is the best version of that.
Also, Robin Williams. Yeah, I would agree with that one.
Holy shit. You just made me remember how goddamn good Hook is.
You're right, though. It is all Hook. I mean, I liked Christopher Robin. I'm not going to back down from that. I did enjoy it. But yeah, you're right.
But it's like, to go to like, Dumbo has a bonkers cast. Like, the cast from Dumbo is bigger than Aladdin. It's bigger than, I would say it's pretty close to Lion King in like the level of like the cast.
Well, right. But it doesn't matter because it's directed by Tim Burton, who hasn't made a good film since Big Fish. which I feel like, like,
what was
19
that?
Years 15? Ago.
I was going to say, is that like 15, 20 years ago?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Big Fish was written by a guy from my state.
Oh, cool. But it's like,
we don't get to come a lot.
it's directed by Tim Burton, who's just very uninspired.
All right,
he's super paint by numbers now.
I've gone back and watched a lot of Tim Burton stuff, like earlier and everything.
Yeah,
and I have a problem with him, and that it seems to be weird aesthetic over anything else. That's all he cares about. Let's make it look weird.
Well, he has a specific art style. I would say it's like
his art style is fine, but it doesn't. In a lot of the ways, it does not always service the story.
That's the whole thing.
Sometimes it hits great, Edward Scissorhands.
Well, that's why if you look at his first 10 movies, it works perfect for.
Pee-wee, Beetlejuice, Batman, Edward Scissorhands, Ed Wood. It's like banger after banger after banger.
Well,
Batman
is his second movie.
And say what you will, Mars Attacks isn't.
I love
Mars Attacks,
but it's fun. Sleepy Hollow is really good.
I love.
Well, no, but you're missing the one between that, which is his second kid one after Nightmare is James and the Giant Peach.
Ooh, that was good too.
Which is stellar.
That's not him. That's Henry Selick.
It has him under it.
It's a producer thing.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at his.
I was about to say it's kind of like with Nightmare Before Christmas. It says Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas, but Henry Selick directed that one too.
I said Big Fish was his last good one. Sweeney Todd, 2007. Sweeney Todd's good. That's 11 years ago. I'll be more generous. God.
I forgot that he did Mrs. Peregrine's School for Peculiar Children.
I actually like that book.
But that was his take on doing a
young adult.
Yeah, that young adult genre that was really big 7-8 years ago.
It's I liked the book that was based on. It was a neat little book, not the best book or anything like that.
Well, yeah. Well, like John said, it's the X-Men or Doom Patrol. Yeah, it's
pretty much. But I had
the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah. I had no interest in seeing that movie.
Yeah, it's Eva Green surrounded by a bunch of kids with goofy powers.
Well, what kind of makes the book neat
it's not as good as Sky High.
Oh, no, I love Sky High, featuring the actress that would later become Killer Frost when she's adorable. As well as, what's her name, is playing, isn't she playing Huntress in that movie that's supposed to be coming out with the also Ewan McGregor?
Yeah, shit. Kurt Russell's in that movie, and he's great.
Oh, there's a ton of people. Who am I thinking of? Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh, okay.
She's the person, she's the hot girl that he's after. And that's early, early on before she did a whole bunch of her stuff. 10 Cloverfield Lane she was in. I'm trying to think. Oh, she was in Scott Pilgrim too.
Yeah. Which is a fucking fantastic movie.
She's also in the remake of The Thing. But we're not going to hold it against her.
Yeah, I think she's playing Huntress in that Birds of Prey movie.
Oh.
With Ewan McGregor as Black Mask.
But yeah, I guess,
Is Ewan McGregor playing Black Mask in that movie?
Yeah, supposedly, if it's supposed to be, when it actually is made.
Yeah.
Well, it's out in February.
I can't remember. They keep changing the name, so I think it's Gotham City Sirens now.
It's got a full title thing.
Yeah, it's Gotham City Sirens is what they changed it to. Because it's, I just pulled up the IMDb. Because it's Margot Robbie.
I have the Wikipedia for here. It's Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. That's the full title.
Okay, because then they've changed the name twice or two or three times then. Because on IMDb they have it as Gotham City Sirens.
But, I don't know. Margot Robbie was a good get for Harley Quinn.
She's fine.
I think, oddly enough, in Suicide Squad, I think her and Will Smith did the best jobs.
She's very good in Wolf of Wall Street. Okay, and yeah. I hear she's very good in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I have not seen that yet.
I, Tonya.
She's great in I, Tonya.
She's great, yeah. But I guess pulling it back to Dumbo and Tim Burton, like, I watched that movie. It has a great cast. I mean, we're talking Michael Keaton, Colin Farrell.
Where Michael Keaton's basically not Disney, but Disney, but not Disney.
Right. But, I mean, it was just, it was fucking boring. Like, it was bad. Like, what the
yeah.
Watching him, like, this is dumb.
Yeah, and I'm just, like, at a point where it's, like, you know, maybe, like, 2 years ago when they announced Lion King, I was like, oh, man, I'd see Lion King, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'd much rather go see... I'd much rather stay at home and watch, like, all these other streaming shows I need to get caught up on. There's, like, just too much mass media out there for me to be...
Yeah, that's where I'm at. There's
watching some Garbo.
There's so much TV, like, good TV.
Well, like, it's like there. I said, it's if they had if they would just pull it back a little bit and be like, okay, well, we've decided to do this, and in 2 years you can watch it, instead of being like, okay, everything's coming out in the next year or two. It's like, it's just too much too fast, and some of it's just like Lilo and Stitch. I mean,
yeah, like some of the others. I kind of get, because they're old stories.
I mean, but with Lilo and Stitch, it's going to be like, okay, well, how about we just do a live-action version of Iron Giant, too? I know that's not Disney, but, like...
Okay, well, the other two I see here...
What are we talking about? He shows up in Ready Player One.
Yeah.
So, apparently, they're also... Godzilla. There are plans for a Peter Pan and a Bambi live-action movie.
They've already done Peter Pan live-action. They've
said, like, seven times. Like,
and every, like, version of them doing Peter Pan, like, still does not fix the problem with, like, that source material is just very racist. And, like, and, like, the last... well, I mean,
it's... I mean, Hook did it pretty good.
I don't know about the pedophilia thing, but it's just like
it's an island of young boys being chased by an adult man and his crew of other adult men.
I don't read it as that way at all. But it's like the idea that there is just like the original anime Peter Pan, like, has that extended sequence with the natives and what makes the red man red, and it's just like,
oh yeah, no, I mean,
Ridge City.
Oh, is it? I'm looking. Tiger Lily, is that like the Native American one?
Yeah,
Tiger Lily is the girl.
Disney's had a problem with.
Well, it's anything. Once you go back, like, every single thing has had issues. So it also doesn't help that their owner had a lot of not great things.
No. Like, that doesn't, like, but, like, that's a thing, and that's a thing that people do say. It's like, well, like, that's just how it used to be. And I'm like, well, no. Oh,
it's still wrong.
Like, even, like, the last interpretation of Hook, or, like, of a Peter Pan that they did for the big screen, casted Rooney Mara as Tiger Lily. It's like, who's the whitest actress that we can find in Hollywood? And let's have her play this Native American
character. I don't even remember. Like, what are you talking? What movie is this?
That was the one that had Hugh Jackman in it, right?
Yeah, and Hugh Jackman is not Captain Hook.
Right.
I have no memory of this.
Oh, it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. I watched it on the plane.
But, like, not all the old ones are racist. Like, Robin Hood is good.
The one with the fox and animals. Stuff.
Yeah.
Anytime they get into human characters, it gets pretty racist.
The Great Mouse Detective is great.
Yeah, but there's, like, was it Fantasia and...
Fantasia cut out the racist...
They cut out all that stuff.
Like, the racist centaur, who's the black handmaiden to all the white centaurs.
Oh, we got Song of the South?
They don't talk about that anymore.
they sure shit made a ride for it, though.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Okay, so wait. I didn't even know this existed. This movie came out 4 years ago? The one with Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, no one saw it.
It's fucking terrible. It's bad.
This has a lot of names in it, too.
Yeah.
Amanda Seyfried, you said Rudy Mara.
And isn't Rudy Mara, like, Scandinavian or some shit?
Rudy Mara, no. She's one of the richest people. Her dad or her grandparents are the owners of the New York Giants.
Oh, wow.
They're, like, super old school rich people.
Oh, okay. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, but, like, Cara Delevingne is in this. I didn't even remember this coming out. I thought you were talking about the 2003 one,
Peter Pan movie. You're talking about the one with
Jason Isaacs,
Dunker Kid, and see, I liked that one.
But that's not a Disney movie. I think that's based off of the book.
Well, that's because I'm pretty sure Peter. Well, okay, let's face it. Fucking Disney's gotten rich off of public domain bullshit.
Oh, 100%.
Which is funny that they keep extending their fucking copyrights.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay. So, sorry for interrupting. But I looked at the Wikipedia for Pan. I never saw this movie, so I don't give a shit. But I came across the soundtrack to Pan, and evidently there's a bunch of covers in this movie, like Smells Like Teen Spirit and Blitzkrieg Bop.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Smells Like Teen Spirit, performed by Hugh Jackman and cast.
Oh no!
Yeah, they definitely went Moulin Rouge.
Oh wow, there were two actresses nominated for Razzies in this.
Yeah,
Rooney Mara and Amanda Seyfried were both nominated for Razzies.
Yeah, it's a bad movie. Oof. It really is. It made my 5-hour trip to LA feel even longer.
Do you want to know its total gross in the United States was?
I'm looking at the worldwide.
On $150 million.
$17.
It only made $35 million.
Oh, God.
It made $128 worldwide. So it was. That's a mega flop.
Yeah. Ooh, that's bad.
Also, the golden raspberries don't, like, who fucking cares about them? They always pick the worst shit.
What, the
Razzies? Yeah, it's like, the Razzies are just, like, a big joke award. Like, they don't,
right.
it's like, Paris Hilton, the worst actress of 2018 for Repo, and, like, she's great in that movie. Like, what are you talking about?
Repo is actually good.
It's like, it lost to Kaylee Cuoco, who was in Alvin the Chipmunks: The Road Trip. I'm like, yeah, probably. I mean, but it's like everyone Alvin Chipmunk sucks. Like, I don't know if she's like probably the worst person in Alvin the Chipmunks.
I'm not gonna lie. For some reason, I liked the first Alvin and the Chipmunks movie. I don't know why.
The only things that I like with the Razzies are the two when Halle Berry and
they actually accepted their awards.
Well, Halle Berry and oh my god, I can't remember her name. That did The Blind Side.
Oh my god. Why the fuck can't I think of her name either? What the fuck? Oh, you put me on the spot. Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, so both Sandra Bullock and Halle Berry accepted their Razzies while holding their Oscars because they won them in the same year.
Wait, what did Sandra Bullock get a Razzie for?
All About Steve.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that was
bad. And Halle Berry got it for Catwoman.
Yeah.
And didn't Halle Berry got the
Oscars or Monsters Ball?
Yeah, I think she won the Oscar for Monsters Ball, and her first movie after that was
Catwoman.
It was the same thing with Sandra Bullock. She won The Blind Side, and her first movie after that was All About Steve.
That's pretty good.
Which is a very wonky movie with another like pretty big cast in it. That's super weird.
Yeah, it had Bradley Cooper in it.
Yep. He's Steve.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad movie. I barely remember it. That's how bad it was. I remember just about everything. that I watch.
So I think we've kind of gone through like everything. I'm so confused that there was this Pan movie and that this exists.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Disney owns 40% of the market share. They need to fill up like their docker with like a bunch of stuff.
Dude, you know what bugs the shit out of me though? Like everybody's like, well, at least they can have X-Men in the fucking Marvel universe. I don't care. Disney should not be buying up every fucking thing.
Yeah. I said this like a year ago when all this Fox stuff was starting to happen, and now like, you know, Disney canceled all those Fox projects, and people right. are like, well, like they're probably gonna be bad anyways. I'm like, that's not the point. It's like there now is a bunch of films that were canceled that right. were then competitors, but instead we're gonna get, you know, a bunch of Marvel projects, a bunch of Star Wars projects, a bunch of Pixar and nostalgia stuff. It's like, and like well, these films are taking up 40% of the market share. It's,
well, what was know. It? That Taika Waititi movie is coming out. What is it? Jojo Rabbit or whatever?
Yeah, the Fox Searchlight movie.
And a Disney head was like, oh, I don't know if it's gonna play, like, you know, be good for our audience. It's like, it's not meant for your audience. Not meant for the Disney audience.
That's why you. I mean, it's like, that's why you have. Well, they used to have Miramax, right. but that's why you have Fox Searchlight. It's like put yeah. all those
exactly.
Put all those films.
I think that's Searchlight. It's what they're gonna do with like the difference between like Disney Plus and Hulu. I guess like to me, it's more not to like just defend Disney, but it's more like the problem was like Fox was going to sell no matter what, and the only people that put up any money were Disney and Comcast.
Ugh.
Or not Comcast, yeah. Cablevision, NBC, I think.
Turner Media. No?
No, it's not Turner, because Turner's Warner Brothers.
Well, Turner used to own Cablevision yeah, and stuff like that.
Because there's like four companies. It's Disney, it's, was it CBS, which is what, like Paramount?
Well, CBS is getting sold to fucking Viacom now.
Yeah, which, yes, to Viacom, and then you have NBC, which is is it Comcast or cable?
I think it's Comcast. Well, Comcast was trying to buy Cablevision not too long ago.
But yeah, I think NBC is Comcast. So like the thing is like Fox was going to sell to somebody. Yeah, right. It's NBC Universal is Comcast. So that's not. It's not that necessarily. That's like yeah, Disney owns 40%, but it's also like. Of those big guys, they're all like, they're just like three of them now, or three or four of them.
Yeah, goodbye, antitrust laws.
Well, some of this stuff makes more sense, like, not to go too deep into it, but like, I think to me, like, there's more of an argument to be made about the AT&T, Turner, Warner Brothers, that whole thing where they were like getting like a whole bunch of stuff. It was a DirecTV, is all the same thing now.
Hmm.
As opposed to Disney just buying up like basically IP, because that's all they're really buying, like IP and I guess studio space, but they're not actually buying like.
Yeah, the only thing they didn't buy when it comes to Fox is the
news and sports. They did not get
news and sports,
because they straight up said that if the sports was part of it, then that would break the antitrust. Like that would break the thing,
right? Because of ESPN.
ESPN, yeah. But I don't know. Like there is YouTube and Netflix and Amazon. And
well, Amazon's or Hulu is owned by Disney.
Well, now it is, but that's why I didn't say Hulu. But there's Netflix and Amazon, and did I say Hulu? I didn't. YouTube.
I don't know if you did or not.
Yeah, but like Netflix and Amazon and YouTube are like now three new players. YouTube is not really there yet, but Amazon and Netflix are playing. Especially it feels like Amazon is like
doing a
lot more stuff.
YouTube has Cobra Kai.
Come on, man. They're kind of the one that's like not doing anything, which is funny, but like
Cobra Kai is not bad.
No, but it's like really the only thing they've done. Like right. Amazon is now kind of Netflix kind of started with getting other people's stuff and putting it on there. Now they're doing
Amazon just did The Boys, which was fantastic. Yeah,
and they have the rights to Lord, like they're doing Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And they did
Good Omens, which was awesome. Mm-hmm.
And they have the Jack Ryan show and they have, but they have like a couple of other big shows.
Is that what it's called? The Jack Ryan Show.
Actually, I think it's called Jack Ryan.
I think it's just Jack Ryan. It was really good.
It's like a sitcom about Jack Ryan going off on adventures.
What was it? Amazon also produced American Gods for Stars or whatever that plays on.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Yeah, so like all these places are like making like their own strides into it. But like at the same time, it's like this is no worse than cable now.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's what...
But it's also the same, like, NBC is Comcast, which Comcast is a cable company.
I was about to say, I just talked shit about Disney, but Disney is also doing that bundle where you get Hulu, ESPN,
and Disney Plus, it's $15.
Yeah, like $13 to $15 or something like that. That's actually not bad. It's like, they're going to have to start bundling them to stay viable.
Yeah, well, Warner Brothers is doing their own. They're doing HBO Max, I think it's called.
Yeah, and it's going to have shit like Friends and stuff on it, which is, you know, they're pulling from
Netflix. Yeah, it's going to have everything like that Warner Brothers owns, all the old HBO stuff. And also, they're moving some of the stuff that's like on the DC app, like the DC Comics app, are also like Doom Patrol Season 2 is going to air on there as well.
I was going to say, I don't see a good future for the DC app.
No, it's having issues unless they convert it strictly to just being cartoons and comics. Like, if you're really into comic books and the animated stuff, it's a perfect thing for you because it has basically after, I think, a month, an animated film they drops on there. Like, Hush just got added to it. And it has every other animated thing. It has almost all of the movies that they would own. So, like, all the Batmans, it does not have Superman 3, 4, and Supergirl because of rights issues. And now, the only TV shows it doesn't have is Smallville because it has a deal with Hulu, and it does not have the 66 Batman.
I mean, the rights for the 66 Batman have always been up in the air. Yeah, it's probably they ever released anything. Yeah.
But we have gone off on a giant tangent, so why don't we close it out? So this is Legion of Toons. I do a couple other podcasts. John does And Now Comics with Me. That's part of the Phantom Zone. So search the Phantom Zone on iTunes. Check out all the other stuff on losharo.wordpress.com. A bunch of people write on there. There's a bunch of other podcasts. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to everything. And tell a friend. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to add before we close out?
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
All right, so we will catch you guys next time. Adios.
Later.
See you later, Toon fans.